Because what you got is Danny should probably have seen it coming, but he's still a little surprised when he meets up with his study group in one of the lounges in Huntsman, and Sarah leans across the table and says, "You didn't tell us Claude was your boyfriend." "He isn't." "Really?" Caleb says. "Because that's not what it looked like." "We're friends," Danny says. "It's not like he's never heard this before." "He picked up your kid from school," Sarah says, ticking it off on her fingers. "He brought you groceries. And don't think we didn't notice that it wasn't just stuff for dinner. He made dinner for you and all of us." "We are friends," Danny says again. "We've been friends for a long time, and he lived with us for a year." Hunter narrows his eyes. "Did you hook up with him?" Danny doesn't answer that, but his face must give him away. "Seriously?" Caleb asks. "I mean, I know what it looked like, but I didn't know you were actually..." He waves a hand. "You hook up with guys?" "Don't we have a problem set to work on?" "This is way more interesting," Sarah says. Danny sighs. He's not getting out of this one. "I'm bi," he says to Caleb. "Friends and family know, but it's not public knowledge, so please don't spread it around. Claude and I are friends." "Friends with benefits," Hunter says. "And Claude's out. Bi, not gay," he clarifies for Sarah and Caleb. "That puts the whole getting one of his signed jersey thing into perspective." Danny takes a deep breath. He's dealt with enough rookies and wannabe superstar kids on the boys' teams to be able to be calm about this. His voice is only a little tight when he says, "He would have donated it anyway. We're friends, and he does believe in giving back to the community." Hunter opens his mouth, but it's Caleb who speaks first and says, "Lay off," to Hunter. To Danny, he says, "Okay, we get that. But do you really think you're just friends?" "That was not just friends," Sarah says. "That wasn't even just friends with benefits. That was complete boyfriend behavior." That at least puts Danny back on somewhat familiar ground. "He's not my boyfriend," he says as firmly as he can. "Now, we have a problem set to work on and not that much time to do it." They all look dubious, but Danny's used his best dad captain coach voice, and it works well enough that they spread out their books and notebooks and get to work on the problem set. Danny calls Claude when he gets home from class, hoping to catch him between practice and his nap.
"Hey,"
Claude drawls into the phone. "Hi," Danny says. "Did I wake you up?"
"I wasn't quite asleep,"
Claude says. "Sorry."
"It's okay."
"Well," Danny says, "this might not be." He relays their conversation with his study group to Claude, who laughs at their insistence that they must be more than just friends. Claude has dealt with that just as long as Danny has. Danny winds down to the end of the conversation and then asks, "Is it okay that they know that we hook up?"
"Too late to ask the question,"
Claude says.
"But yeah, they're your friends. You can tell them whatever you want."
"Your friends don't know," Danny says.
"My friends are assholes who would chirp us both forever,"
Claude says.
"Most of them. Tony knows. And Jason, I think."
"You think?" Danny asks with a laugh.
"I was drunk,"
Claude says.
"I think I said something about your ass, but I don't really remember."
Danny chuckles. "Of course you did. Well, I told them I'm not out publicly and asked them not to spread it around."
"I haven't told anyone who would do that,"
Claude says.
"And I won't, even if I'm drunk."
"I know you won't," Danny says. "And I won't tell anyone who would either."
Okay, good,
Claude says. His voice breaks into a yawn. Good, then he repeats. Now go take a nap.
Okay,
Claude says.
Watch my game.
I will, then he promises. The semester grinds on, sliding into an endless series of papers, homework assignments, and tests. Not that Danny regrets it, but it's a lot of work, and his relationship with Claude continues to be his study group's favorite topic to bring up when they need a distraction. Danny mostly puts up with it, both because he has for years, and because it often makes him laugh. What counts as a date with you two? Sarah asks him one afternoon, when none of them actually want to do any work, but they're set up at the table anyway. Do you go watch Cameron's hockey games together? Dinner and a movie? Grilled cheese at home? They have, actually, done all of those things in the last week. Danny admits to that, and also says, but they weren't dates. Sarah, Hunter, and Caleb all give him deeply skeptical looks. We're friends, Danny says. We've done all those things for years, even when we weren't hooking up. That just means you've been dating forever, Hunter says. Has it been forever? Sarah asks. Is this a romance for the ages? Danny laughs. It's not a romance at all. It really is, Caleb says. He leans his cheek on one hand. I wish I had a romance like that. Really? Sarah asks. Wouldn't you want someone who could admit that it was a romance? Well, yeah, Caleb says. But the rest of it, he waves a hand. They obviously fit well together, and that would be nice. Maybe we should find you a boyfriend, Danny says. It's a good distraction from talking about him and Claude. The half-dreamy look on Caleb's face closes off. No, he says. I don't think that's what I need right now. Sarah and Danny exchange confused looks, but it's Hunter who cuts right into the heart of it. If they were shitty enough to kick you out, he says, his usual bluntness softened to something more caring. Making yourself miserable isn't going to make them change their minds. Caleb goes, absolutely pale. You don't know, he starts to say. I do know, Hunter says. My best friend's boyfriend's family is the same way. It sucks, but sometimes you just have to face reality and find other people to love you. Sarah says, shut up, Hunter, and gets out of her chair and goes around the table so she can put her arms around Caleb. You're not helping. Caleb leans into her hug. He kind of is. He looks up at her with a watery smile. That means he's volunteering to be one of the other people, right? The rueful look on Hunter's face is almost funny. I guess so, he says. We all are, Danny says firmly. Caleb smiles at him and pushes Sarah away gently. Thank you, he says. He rubs his eyes. Can we talk about something else now? They all look at each other for a moment before Sarah takes up the conversation. Jeanette, she's the one doing the story design, heard the most awful idea for a video game. The story makes all of them, even Caleb, laugh. Danny still makes sure to hug him before they part ways. You're always welcome to come over to my house, he tells Caleb when he does. Thanks, Caleb says. His smile looks almost easy. Danny watches him go with a frown, and Hunter nudges his shoulder. His parents are assholes. There's nothing anyone can do about that. There should be something, but Danny doesn't answer, and Hunter waves as he walks away. The house is empty when he gets home. Cameron at Sylvie's for the week. It's too quiet while Danny tries to do his reading, and he texts all three boys. Nothing important, just checking in, so the buzz of his phone will interrupt the quiet. He gives up after an hour of barely doing any homework, which he really needs to do since they didn't do any studying this afternoon, and calls Claude. Claude is a good distraction. He starts the conversation with,
"You won't believe what Heartsy did."
Danny laughs a little. "I know, Scott, I probably will."
"No, you won't,"
Claude says, and then he launches into the story. Danny laughs in all the right places, and when Claude's finished, he says, "I believe it." Claude sighs heavily.
"You're no fun."
"I'm lots of fun," Danny says, even though he doesn't feel like it at the moment.
"Fun enough to have phone sex with me?"
Danny laughs. "No."
"Come on,"
Claude says.
"I know you called because Cameron's at Sylvie's and you're lonely."
"Talking about my son and my ex-wife is not the way to convince me to have phone sex with you," Danny says, still laughing a little.
"So what is the way?"
"Not happening," Danny says. "Don't you have to go to dinner soon anyway?"
"Yes,"
Claude says.
"But I would be late for you."
Danny laughs at him again. "Very flattering. Go have dinner. We can have sex when you're back in town."
"I'm going to remember you said that,"
Claude says. "I'm good for it," Danny promises. He feels better after he says goodbye to Claude. It was a good distraction, although he does recognize the irony in using Claude to distract himself from a conversation that started with his study group teasing him about Claude. He also has a couple of texts from the boys, which makes him feel even better. At least, he can make sure his kids have parents who love and support them unconditionally. Claude doesn't bother to call when he gets back into town. Just shows up at Danny's house one afternoon, hair still wet from his post-practice shower. "Hi," Danny says. "What are you doing here?" "Cameron's still at Sylvie's," Claude says. "So I know you're lonely. And you promised me sex when I got back." Danny laughs. "I did promise you that." He stands up and takes Claude's hand. "Come upstairs." Claude doesn't move. Pulls Danny back by his hand. "What's wrong with right here?" Danny leans up and kisses him, licking into Claude's mouth and not letting up until he has to breathe. "I want you to fuck me." "Let's go upstairs," Claude says, starting for the stairs and tugging Danny along with him. "I thought you'd go for that," Danny says with a laugh. Claude lets go of him once they reach Danny's bedroom, and they take their clothes off separately. Danny wants to be naked with Claude more than he wants to get Claude that way. They crash together once they're naked, biting into each other's mouth and letting their hands wander over bare skin. Danny pulls away first and settles onto the bed. "Just fuck me." Claude looks at him for a long moment before he blinks and gets the lube and a condom out of the nightstand. "How do you want it?" Danny spreads his legs. "Like this." Claude opens him up slowly, only moving on from one finger to two when Danny insists on it. By the time Claude pushes into him, Danny's panting and his hair is plastered to his forehead with sweat. He moans, soft and low, at the way it feels, Claude's cock barely a stretch after how thoroughly Claude fingered him, but filling him up anyway. "Fuck," Claude says when he's all the way in. "Uh-huh," Danny says back, not up to forming any more words than that. He kisses Claude for long minutes, and then nudges at him until Claude begins to move. It's good, and just what Danny wants, not to have to think, to just feel. He pushes his hips up against Claude's, urging Claude on without words until Claude fucks him harder, going so far as to get up on his knees and pulls Danny along with him so he has better leverage. Danny comes hard, with his own hand wrapped around his cock, while Claude's fingers dig into his hips as he fucks him. He stops touching himself when it becomes too much, but doesn't stop Claude, relaxes into being fucked, into the way it overwhelms his senses. Claude comes with a shout and a couple of last out-of-rhythm thrusts. He leans over Danny, breathing heavily, and kisses him before he carefully pulls out and throws away the condom. He lies next to Danny, and this part is good too. After a minute, Claude kisses his cheek and asks, "Okay." "Mm-hmm." Danny shifts so he's touching Claude a little more. "You sure? That was pretty intense." "Are you complaining?" Claude laughs a little. "No." He kisses Danny's temple. "Just wanted to know what brought that on." Danny tenses, already losing some of his relaxation from what he just did. "Hmm," Claude says, kissing Danny again. "Never mind, you can tell me about it later." He does leave it alone, and they lie there for a long time, dozing and kissing occasionally, until Claude gets up because he needs something to eat. There's no one else home, so they go downstairs in just their underwear and cobble together sandwiches from whatever's in the fridge. They sit at a counter to eat, and Claude kicks Danny's ankle lightly. "Want to talk about it?" Danny sighs, but tells him about the conversation with his study group. Claude puts his sandwich down to listen, then leans over and kisses Danny lightly. "I'm starting the pool," he says, "and betting that you're going to adopt Caleb." That makes Danny laugh, and he relaxes so his shoulder is against Claude's. "I'm not adopting anyone, but I am going to try and get him to come over sometimes." "I don't know why Greg's is living with me," Claude says. "You're the one who should still be taking in rookies." "You're doing all right," Danny says. "He's playing well, and everyone says he's a good addition to the team." "When were you talking to people about my rookies?" "I watch press coverage," Danny says. "And you're not the only flyer I talk to." Claude shakes his head fondly. "Of course I'm not. Everyone likes you." Danny slides his hand up Claude's thigh. "Not the way you like me." Then it's Claude's turn to laugh, and he picks up his sandwich. "I need to eat this first. Then I can show you how much I like you." Danny lets go of Claude's thigh with a last squeeze. "I know how much you like me." Claude smiles at him. "Do you? I'm not sure I've demonstrated it well enough." Danny smiles back, the flirtation easy and comfortable. Fun, without denying how he feels about Caleb's situation. "I might need another demonstration." Claude nudges him with an elbow. "Then finish your sandwich. We're going to need the energy." Danny doesn't lose his temper with the workload of being in college until they hit midterms. He's doing his best to focus on his work, which isn't easy with a bunch of teenagers having something not quite organized enough to be a video game tournament in his living room. The kids are at least not actively interrupting his concentration, which can't be said from the pair of hands that drop onto his shoulders. Danny turns his head and stares at Claude. "You don't look like you want me here," Claude says. Danny glares at him. "I don't. I don't want you here. I don't want all these kids here. I don't even want the dogs here. I just want some peace and quiet so I can finish this essay and my management homework and start on my econ problem set." Danny says it all in a furious whisper that won't reach the living room full of teenagers. As much as he doesn't want them to be in his house right now, he does know it's better for them to be here than some of the other places they could be. "Clothes. Are you done?" is an ocean of calm in contrast. Danny considers it for a moment before he says, "Yeah, I'm done." "Okay, you work on your essay, and I'm going to take the kids out for pizza. We'll be gone for at least an hour, and I'll bring you back something to eat." Danny can feel himself deflate with a sudden lack of tension. "Thank you. You can take my car. There are a lot of them." Claude nods. "First, come here." He cups the back of Danny's head in a familiar gesture. "The kids." Claude says, "It's funny how you think Cameron's friends don't all know," and kisses him. It's not quite like any other kiss he's ever gotten from Claude. It's not leading to anything. It's not following anything. It's not trying to talk him into anything. It's just a kiss, warm and comfortable, and more cheering than he would have guessed. It becomes even more so when Claude rounds up the kids, and they all leave. Then he gets the rest of the way through the draft of his essay, and halfway through the week's management assignment, before Sarah texts him. "This Econ P set is going to kill me!" Danny sends back. "I haven't even looked at it," and isn't surprised when his phone rings 10 seconds later.
"No, seriously, this is awful,"
Sarah says.
"I don't think this is a one-person job. I know it's a drive, but please say you'll come over to the library and work on it with me."
"I can't. I have Cameron this week." Sarah makes a frustrated noise.
"You're a good dad, and a terrible study partner. What about tomorrow?"
"Yeah," Danny says. "After management. Or after 3. I have class at 2.
"I'm going to see if everyone else can make it,"
Sarah says.
"I'll text you the details."
She hangs up without ceremony, and Danny makes it almost to the end of his management homework before she texts him. "Caleb and Hunter are in. 3 in Huntsman." Then he texts her back an acknowledgement and keeps working on his management assignment. It's not quite done by the time he hears the front door open and one set of footsteps bound up the stairs. Cameron, no doubt, but it's close enough that he doesn't stress about pushing his work to the side when Claude brings a pizza box to the table. "What do you want to drink?" Claude asks. "Water." Claude brings a glass of water and a beer for himself to the table and flips the pizza box open. It's still hot enough for Danny to feel the warmth even before he picks up a piece. There's no one he has to be an example for, so he doesn't even bother with napkins, just eats carefully enough not to let toppings fall everywhere. "Didn't you eat with the kids?" he asks when Claude takes a piece too. "Some." Danny lets go of the topic because he doesn't mind sharing with Claude. He practically inhales his slice. Claude is still taking bites of his first one when Danny picks up a second. Claude talks while they eat, telling Danny about what the kids were up to at dinner, a few stories he hasn't heard yet about practice or the guys on the team. It's easy enough a conversation that Danny doesn't have to do anything more than just make acknowledging noises in the right places. He does reach over halfway through one of Claude's stories to steal a sip of his beer. Claude gives him a look, but doesn't call him on it, and then he slides the bottle back to him with a slight smile that he knows is enough for him to get away with it. Then he flips the pizza box closed when he's done. He'd been hungrier than he thought, and watches Claude finish off his beer. "Better?" Claude asks. "Yes," and then he puts his hand over Claude's. "Thank you." Claude turns his hand over and squeezes Danny's. "You still have work to do?" "Some." Claude squeezes his hand again and leans over to kiss the top of Danny's head when he gets up. "I'll be in the living room, taking advantage of your TV." He puts the leftover pizza in the fridge on his way out of the room. Danny watches him go, then shakes it off, washes his hands, and gets back to his homework. He finishes his management assignment, reads the rest of the chapter for his art history class, and looks over the econ problem set just so he knows what they're up against tomorrow. It is that bad, and he spares a moment to be thankful for Sarah rounding them all up to work on it together. There's still some reading he needs to do this week, but there isn't anything else that has to be done before tomorrow, so he packs up what he needs to take with him tomorrow and neatly stacks the rest. Then he takes the dogs out before he goes to find Claude in the living room. "Done? For now." Claude isn't taking up the whole couch, so Danny lies down and puts his head in Claude's lap. Claude runs his hand through Danny's hair. "I thought school was supposed to be fun for you." Danny sighs. "Sometimes it is. It's just a lot of work right now, and it's all in English." Claude keeps running his hand through Danny's hair. It's nice, and Danny half watches whatever it is Claude's watching without really taking it in, until a particularly loud commercial wakes him up. Danny squeezes Claude's knee and then pushes himself up. I'm going to bed. I'll come with you. Claude turns off the TV, locks the back door while Danny locks the front door. Upstairs, Claude continues down the hall, and Danny stops to check on Cameron.
We're going to bed,
Danny says when Cameron invites him in at his knock.
Homework done?
Almost.
Cameron holds up the book he's reading.
Just finishing my reading for English.
Okay.
Danny crosses the room to press a kiss on the top of Cameron's head. Don't stay up too late.
I won't.
Claude is already in bed when Danny gets to his room. Danny throws his clothes and the hamper in the closet before going past him to the bathroom to brush his teeth. He turns out the light and gets into bed where Claude is holding up the blankets for him. Claude kisses him, finding him easily in the dark when they've done this so many times before. It's like the kiss from earlier, comforting and warm, without asking for anything, and Claude's hand strokes through his hair again. Then he kisses him back, kisses him again, and says, I'm glad you're here. Then he wakes up just as his alarm starts to beep, and turns it off as quickly as he can. It's not quite fast enough to keep it from waking Claude up too. Sorry, Danny says. Claude grunts and turns his head into his pillow. I have to get up anyway. Game day. Danny kisses the tiny bit of Claude's forehead still showing.
I'll take the first shower.
He does, and nudges Claude when he gets out.
Get up if you want breakfast.
Not if you're making it.
Danny ignores him, gets dressed, and stops to knock on Cameron's door before he goes downstairs to let the dogs out and start the coffee. Claude joins him before Danny can do more than open the fridge.
Get out of there. I'll make eggs. You can make toast.
Danny says,
not funny,
and cedes breakfast making to Claude.
Still funny.
Danny puts bread in the toaster and pours 2 cups of coffee. Takes the milk from Claude to add it to their coffee, and puts sugar in the cup he hands to Claude. Claude takes the coffee and rests the spatula in the pan so he can grab Danny's wrist.
What? Come here, Claude tugs at his wrist.
Danny lets Claude pull him close and wraps his free arm around Claude when Claude kisses him.
This is not like the kisses from yesterday. This is a kiss asking for something. Starting something you really don't have time to finish right now.
Claude stops kissing him for a moment, long enough to stir the eggs, and then draws him in again. Then he stops them this time, rests his forehead against Claude's cheek.
We can't, Cameron. Isn't coming down until you yell at him at least twice.
Claude kisses his way down Danny's cheek to his lips, then down his jaw to his neck.
And we're leaving right after tonight's game.
Danny steps back before Claude can do something to his neck that will make his classmates give him looks he'd rather not have directed his way.
And I have class in a study group today.
Claude sighs and stirs the eggs.
Are you going to watch my game?
Danny smirks at him.
Are you going to win?
Claude throws him a dirty look.
Yeah, now that I'm all sexually frustrated, I'll have to do something with that energy.
Danny laughs and kisses him fast and hard before he goes to stand at the bottom of the stairs and yell,
Cameron, breakfast!
On his way to his writing seminar, Danny sends a text to his study group.
I'll bring coffee, what do you want?
And turns off his phone. When he turns it on again, he has 3 texts with coffee orders and a 4th one from Sarah telling him where in the lounge she staked out a table. Then he gets a couple of muffins and some cookies with their coffee and manages not to drop anything before he finds where Sarah, Caleb, and Hunter are.
Thanks, Dad,
Hunter says, words heavy with sarcasm, when Danny puts muffins and cookies in the middle of the table.
Ignore him, Sarah grabs one of the cookies. We're all stressed out and badly behaved. I stayed up until 3 playing Assassin's Creed last night because I didn't want to do my homework.
I called my brother, Caleb says, and shrugs. He lives at home. At least it wasn't my parents. It's the kind of thing that could make for an awkward moment if it weren't for Hunter, who bulldozes through it with,
"I was mean to the very nice guy who bought me coffee and a muffin."
They all relax, and they all look at Danny. I yelled at Claude. "No way," Sarah says. "What did he do?" "Took Cameron and his friends out for dinner so the house would be quiet enough for me to do my homework." Sarah lets out a low whistle. "Boyfriend?" He's not. "He's your boyfriend," Hunter says. "Dudes who are just friends don't do that." "Let me ask you this," Sarah says. "Did you even hook up?" "No," Danny says. "Not that it's any of your business." "This is college," Caleb says, "and we're your friends. We're supposed to gossip about your sex life." "Did he stay over?" Sarah persists. "Yes." Danny breaks a piece off of one of the cookies, but having something in his mouth does nothing to discourage Sarah. "So, to recap, he came over. You yelled at him. He took your kids and his friends out to dinner. You didn't hook up. And he spent the night anyway. That, my friend, is boyfriend behavior."
Danny swallows his piece of cookie.
"Can we please stop talking about my sex life and work on this problem set?" "Yes," Sarah says. "But only because the problem set is so terrible. This is not over." "Not even close," Caleb says. And then, when Danny shoots him a look, "I have no sex life. I have to live vicariously through you."
"Are you busy?"
Danny timed his call so he could catch Claude when he probably wasn't busy, but it's better to check.
"No."
"Are you alone?"
"Yes,"
Claude says.
"There's a Mario Kart tournament in the video room that everyone else is playing in. Why?"
"What are you wearing?"
Claude's silent for a beat before he catches on.
"Phone sex? Really? You never agreed to that."
Then he grins. "You took care of the kids and bought me dinner so I could do homework. I've been told that goes above and beyond the call of duty. It seems like behavior worth rewarding, so... what are you wearing?"
"Nothing I can't get out of easily. What are you wearing?"
Years of hotel rooms mean Danny can easily identify the sound of locks clicking firmly shut. The only definitive way to keep nosy or prank-inclined teammates out. "Nothing." Claude makes a choked-off noise.
"What were you going to do if I was busy?"
"Put my clothes back on and do some reading for class. Probably jerk off too, but they're having phone sex. They'll get to that part of the conversation." Claude laughs.
"Hang on, I'm putting you on speaker and taking off my clothes."
Then he switches his phone to speaker and puts it down. "I wish I could do that for you." He flexes his hands. "I won't touch you." Claude groans.
"You're torturing me. Why aren't you here?"
"I'm retired. You have to come home to do this in person. Tell me what you want." There's a rustle and Claude breathing, and then he says,
"I really want to fuck you. I would have the other day."
Then he slides a hand down his chest. "Do you want me to fuck myself?" Claude swears.
"You would do that?"
"I'm naked in bed. The lube is right here. Do you want me to?"
"Yes."
Claude breathes. Danny grabs a lube off of the nightstand and squeezes some on his hand.
"Wait,"
Claude says.
"Jerk yourself off first."
Danny says, "I promise you I'm into this." But he wraps his slick hand around his cock anyway and gives it a few strokes to spread the lube around.
"Maybe I just want you doing something I don't have to think so hard about while I find some lotion."
Claude's voice gets fainter. While he's walking away, Danny guesses. "I'll just be waiting here," Danny says, "with real lube and a hand on my dick."
"If you can figure out a good way to travel with lube without getting chirped or pranked..."
Claude says, and then,
"Why is this stuff always scented? My dick's gonna smell like lemon."
Then he laughs and stops touching himself. This is the least sexy phone sex I've ever had.
"But it will be the most fun,"
Claude says.
"You should finger yourself now."
That makes Danny stop laughing. "Yeah," he says. "Okay." He squeezes more lube into his hand. "Slow or fast?"
"Fast. I really want to fuck you."
This is getting a lot sexier. Danny pushes one finger into himself.
"I've been wanting to fuck you,"
Claude says.
"I would have the other day if you didn't have all morning classes. You could have taken Cameron to school and then come back and gotten fucked."
Then he pushes a second finger into himself, which makes his voice waver when he says, "I'll keep that in mind for next semester."
"Afternoon classes,"
Claude says.
"Tell me what you're doing."
"Two fingers," then he says, and it gets a hiss out of Claude.
"Does it feel good?"
"Yeah." Then he squeezes lube onto his stomach with his free hand, then scoops it up and strokes his cock. "Not as good as when you do it. The angle's weird, and your fingers are longer." Claude groans.
"I wish they were my fingers. I'm so hard."
Then he moves his fingers, stretches himself open a little more. "Even with your lemon-scented lotion?"
"Lemon-scented lotion is nothing compared to you with your fingers in your ass. Tell me you're jerking off."
"I am." Then he moves his hand over his cock with more purpose, faster, squeezing tighter.
"I would do that too,"
Claude says.
"Finger you open, and then fuck you and jerk you off until you come all over yourself."
Then he barely breathes out Claude's name. He doesn't have the breath for anything else.
"Yeah, Danny,"
Claude says.
"Jerk yourself off. I want to hear it."
Then he lets the hand around his cock go a little loose, so it makes more noise. "I want to hear you too."
"I'm so hard,"
Claude moans a little, and it's so good that Danny lets himself make some noise too.
"I'm thinking about what you look like."
Then he can picture it, Claude naked and hard with his hand on his dick, and the phone next to him. It's enough to make him moan and tighten his grip again. "Thinking about you."
"Yeah? Let me hear you, fuck yourself. Jerk yourself off."
Then he doesn't know how Claude manages to talk so much, even if it is only staccato instructions. But he doesn't waste time thinking about it when he can push his fingers into himself instead. He rocks on his hands and lets whatever noise he's going to make spill out of him. It would be good anyway, but it's better for having Claude on the other end of the phone, making his own noises.
"Danny, come on, I want to hear you come."
It's not quite enough to push him over the edge, but it's enough for him to fuck himself harder and find the right rhythm that will, and he holds it together just enough to say Claude's name as he comes.
"Danny, fuck!"
Claude swears, and he keeps swearing, all the way through until his voice breaks in the middle of a word, and he moans instead. There's nothing but their breathing for a bit, and then he pulls his fingers out of himself and grabs Kleenex from the nightstand to clean himself up enough to be comfortable before he goes and really cleans up.
"Holy fuck,"
Claude says.
"Fuck, that was so hot."
"Yeah.
I wish you were here."
"Sorry," Danny says. "I know you hate to sleep alone after sex."
"Is it weird that I still look for you when we're on the road?"
Danny half shrugs, even though Claude can't see him. "Makes sense. I was there for most of your career."
"I'm going to do that when I get back next week,"
Claude says.
"Finger you open, and fuck you."
Danny smiles. "Cameron's at Sylvie's next week, so anytime I don't have class..."
"What about your study group?"
"They won't mind if I choose a booty call with you over them," Claude chuckles.
"As long as you don't choose me over your GPA."
That makes something go tight in Danny's chest, and he doesn't think it's just the afterglow. I won't, he promises. Sarah pulls Danny, Caleb, and Hunter aside after management on Monday to ask, Can we get together to do some econ work this week? I don't really feel like I'm ready for finals to be almost here. Is anyone ever ready for finals? Hunter asks. I'm down. Caleb gets out his phone. I have a Lambda Alliance meeting tomorrow night, and I work on Thursday and Friday afternoon and Saturday morning. Hunter scrolls through his phone. I have a study group Wednesday night, but I could do Wednesday afternoon. I can do Wednesday afternoon, then he says. I could do 11. All three of them look up from their phones to look at Danny. You don't have class on Wednesday afternoon, Sarah says. No. Danny tries to meet her eyes evenly. But I'm busy. Are you? Hunter squints at him. The Flyers are out of town until tomorrow. Are you blowing us off to get laid? I don't know whether to be happy for you or mad you're making this harder, Sarah says. How about Jealous he's getting laid? Caleb suggests. Danny throws him a look and gets an unrepentant shrug in return. Tomorrow, between noon and 2, or after 3:30, Danny says, figuring in his own class schedule with when Caleb and Hunter are busy. Or Saturday afternoon. Not Saturday, Sarah says. What time tomorrow? 3:30, Caleb suggests. Works for me, Sarah says. Me too, Hunter says. He smirks at Danny. You'll have plenty of time to get home and watch your boyfriend's game. Maybe he'll put up some points for you. He's not my boyfriend, Danny says. And he'll put up some points because he's just that good. As far as chirping goes, it's not his best, but he's more focused on putting their study session on his calendar. Hunter only lets up because he has to go to class, and Sarah throws Danny a smirk that means he's going to hear about it from her later. You're going to need a better argument, Caleb says. Half our study session tomorrow is going to be about your sex life. I thought college kids were supposed to hook up all the time, Danny says. Not nearly as aggrieved as he's pretending to be. We could be talking about your sex lives instead. Caleb just laughs and waves over his shoulder as he heads down the hall. Danny texts Claude when he gets out of class on Wednesday to let him know he's on his way home. Claude doesn't text him back, but his car is in the driveway when Danny gets home. Danny only has time to close the door behind him and kick off his shoes before Claude comes to find him. Claude puts his arms around him and kisses him. It's another new kind of kiss for them, somewhere in between comforting and starting something. Danny shrugs partway out of Claude's grip. Can I put my backpack down? Claude lets him go just enough that he can let the strap slide off his shoulders and put his backpack on the table. But then they're kissing again. Danny's prepared not to stop this time. It's really good, and the phone sex did nothing to diminish how much he wanted to take Claude to bed. But Claude gentles it until they're barely kissing. I brought you things for sandwiches. Danny gets both hands on Claude's ass and pulls him close. Or we could have sex. Claude groans, but then he pulls Danny's hands away. Food. Then we're going upstairs and not getting out of bed until dinner. It's early for lunch, but Danny's not waiting any more than he has to, so he lets Claude pull him into the kitchen, and they make sandwiches and take them to the table. Claude tells him about the road trip, the things he can't get from watching their games, like Hartsy swapping out all of Schenner's socks for flower print ones. No one would lend him any either, Claude says. So that was what he was wearing to the game. Danny chuckles. Did he get back at Scott? Not yet, Claude grins. We're all waiting to see what he's going to do. He nudges Danny's knee with his own.
What about you? Did you choose me over your study group?
Danny groans.
Yes, we met yesterday. They wouldn't stop chirping me about it.
Claude laughs. You didn't have to tell them you were choosing me.
I didn't. Hunter follows the flyers. They figured it out.
Claude looks at him for a minute.
You love it, he says.
Then he shrugs.
Yeah, it's not the same as playing, but yeah, we're a team.
And that gives them the right to hassle you about your booty calls.
Then he laughs.
Or at least they think it does.
Unwritten rule of life, Claude says. Your team gets to chirp you about your booty calls.
Your team doesn't chirp you about yours.
Nope, Claude says with a grin, because I'm not stupid enough to tell them about mine.
Then he makes a face at him, which just makes Claude laugh, and then lean over and kiss him.
Heartsy would make both our lives hell if he knew this was what I was doing with my day off.
Claude runs a hand down Danny's arm, shoulder to elbow.
Are you done eating?
Yes.
They put their plates in the sink. Danny can always put them away later. And Claude laces their fingers together and walks Danny up the stairs.
Then he pushes his bedroom door closed behind them, and Claude pulls him closer and lets go of his hand so they can put their arms around each other.
You have no idea, Claude says, how hot it was that you called me for phone sex.
I think I have some idea, then he nips at Claude's jaw. You weren't the only one getting off on it.
But you...
Claude shakes his head and kisses Danny instead. It's a deep kiss, and it seems to go on forever, with only the barest pause so they can breathe.
God, I really want to fuck you.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
Claude's hands slide under the hems of Danny's shirt. I also really want to kiss you.
He does, and they stand there kissing for a while longer, until they're rocking into each other, and Danny's starting to get dizzy with it.
Claude, please.
Danny pushes Claude's shirt up until it's rocked up under Claude's arms, and he pushes until Claude lets go of him, and Danny can pull Claude's shirt all the way off.
You can kiss me while you fuck me.
You're in such a hurry. Claude steps back and looks at Danny for too long before he pulls Danny's shirt off, his hand skimming up Danny's sides the whole way.
I remember you promising to finger me open and then fuck me,
Danny says, and my hands weren't enough.
Claude groans. You're making it really hard for me to go slow.
He puts his hands on Danny, just rubbing over his skin. It's good, and it's only making Danny want his hands everywhere.
You don't have to go slow.
Claude bends and leaves a line of kisses down Danny's shoulder to his nipple.
I want to.
Danny says,
I want you to,
and cuts himself off when Claude tugs at his nipple with his teeth.
Okay, he says when Claude moves to the other one. You can do that.
Claude grins at him and kisses down his stomach. He stops at the waistband of Danny's jeans and stays there for a second, mouth pressed to Danny's skin, before he undoes Danny's fly and pulls his jeans down his legs. Danny steps out of them and kicks them away. Claude doesn't go for his underwear next. Instead, he presses his mouth to Danny's cock.
It's good, even through the cloth. It's heat and slight suction as Claude works his mouth over him.
He's almost not ready for it when Claude stops. But then, Claude does pull his underwear down, and he pushes Danny toward the bed as he stands up.
Please tell me you're going to fuck me now.
Claude leans over and kisses him for a while, then opens a drawer to the nightstand. Then he sits halfway up.
How do you want me?
Claude pushes him down, hand warm and heavy on the center of Danny's chest.
Just like this.
He squeezes lube onto his fingers and moves down the bed. He just rubs his fingers over Danny's hole for a bit, and he puts his mouth on Danny's cock and sucks for just a moment. He grins up at Danny when Danny curses at him and pushes one finger into Danny.
It's so much better than when he does it himself.
His wrist isn't twisted weirdly,
and Claude can reach so much deeper, even with just one finger. Then he pushes down onto Claude's finger. More. Claude kisses his hip and sucks on his cock for a second. Not yet. He fucks Danny with just one finger, and keeps dipping in to suck his cock for brief moments, at unpredictable intervals. Then he has to ask twice more, before Claude finally stretches him open with a second finger. But it's a good kind of torture, and the second finger is such a relief that he barely notices the moment where his body has to adjust to it. This is what I'm going to be picturing next time we have phone sex, Claude says. You all stretched out and desperate on my fingers. There's not going to be a next time if you keep me desperate. It's a completely empty threat, and Danny knows it. This is already hot enough to merit some kind of reward, maybe even more than Claude giving him space to study did. It must be making Claude desperate too, because Danny doesn't have to wait as long for a third finger, or maybe time is losing meaning. He does his best to push down into Claude's touch, tries not to thrust too hard up into Claude's mouth, when Claude sucks him for tiny spaces of time that aren't even close to enough. He's swearing, and probably begging, probably saying things that would be embarrassing if he could think about anything but Claude winding him up and keeping him on edge. Something works, or Claude decides he's gone slow enough, because Claude pulls his fingers out, wipes them off, and puts on a condom. He hooks one of Danny's knees up over his hip and pushes in slower than he needs to. More, Danny tells him. You don't have to. Claude cuts him off by leaning over and kissing him. I want to. He nips at Danny's bottom lip. Let me, please. Danny drops his head down and groans. You're going to kill me. I'm not going to kill you. Claude's voice sounds strained too. I'm going to make this so good for you. Danny pulls Claude down and kisses him hard. You are. Just fuck me. It doesn't work the way he wants it to. Claude moves, but he moves unbearably slowly. And he's strong enough that even Danny wrapping his legs around Claude and digging his heels into Claude's ass doesn't make him move any faster. Claude just groans and kisses Danny. Please, Danny says, because he is in no way above begging. Claude, please. Claude rests their foreheads together. Danny, he says, just above a whisper. Danny puts his hands on Claude's cheeks and kisses him. Please, this is so good, I promise, just fuck me now. Claude groans against his mouth and finally does. Danny lets his legs fall apart so Claude can move fast and hard and just right. Claude knocks Danny's hand away when he tries to touch himself and wraps his hand tight around Danny's cock. He doesn't move it much. It's mostly the force of his thrusts pushing Danny into his hand. It's enough. Danny pulls Claude down and they kiss messily, breaking apart to breathe, to groan, to mutter swear words into each other's mouth. Then coming back together again. Danny comes before Claude does, and Claude comes just after him with a shout. Claude kisses him, still messy and off-center and hard to maintain, when they're both shaking and breathing hard. It takes a minute before Claude pulls out of him, hand on Danny's thigh while he does it, and takes care of the condom and wipes up the worst of the mess on Danny's stomach. Danny left Kleenex on the nightstand and a trash can next to the bed, so he doesn't even have to leave the bed to do it. Claude kisses him again, and Danny pulls Claude down to lie on top of him, kisses him deeper and with more concentration. Claude, he says after a while. Danny puts his hands on Claude's cheeks and holds him back enough that Danny can see his face when he says, best sex of my life. Claude's grin splits his face and he laughs, and they're both smiling too much to kiss easily, even though they give it
their best shot.